Okay, so before we get to the very interesting question of women's obligation or level of fulfillment of Puruvu, just wrap up one thing in terms of brachot in general and men's chiyuv. So let's go to Yushalmi in the Ramban. Very, very interesting Yushalmi. Okay, so this is on, okay, from now on, guys, after this, the pages are going to start to be numbered. Okay, but this is
It's going to be there,
don't worry. Okay, if you want to do it now manually, okay, the one that says Man Kayetz Amud 1 is page 1. The back of that, which has the Rush, is page 2. The Yushalmi is page 3. And the back with the Birkei Yosef is page 4. If you want to do it by hand, you could do that now. And then from now on, we're going to have 5 and 6 will just be numbered. Exciting stuff coming tomorrow. Okay. The call hits pedagogic perfection. Okay, so let's see what we got here in the Yushalmi. Okay. So there's the sheet of Shmuel's says, actually before we get to Shmuel, the idea that you need over Lasiasin appears both in the Bab and Yushalmi. Some of you learned the first parak of Psachim. So we're in Psachim, Dav Zayin, and Bet, where Shmuel says mitzvah is supposed to be done, the bracha is over Lasiasin. But Yushalmi has a few other interesting points. Let's see the Yushalmi. Mitzvos, ematai mevarchli. When do you make a bracha in mitzvos? Rabbi Yochanan Amar over Lasiatan. So that's the sheet we're all familiar with, right? The bracha should be immediately prior to the performance of the mitzvah. Indeed, for the overwhelming majority of mitzvot, this is what we do. By the way, I just want to point out one thing. Over Lasiatan is in opposition to two other options. This will become clear in the Ramban. I mean, don't make it before, don't make it after, but also don't make it make it 3 hours before. Right, I'll give you a good example where this comes up, guys. The Ramban is going to say is the mitzvah is supposed to be mizumenet biyadoa. I'll give you a good example. The most famous conundrum of Over Lasiatan is the lulav and esrog, of course. Okay, what's the famous problem? The second you pick it up, you've been yotze. So you already lose the ability to do Over Lasiatan. So in theory, there should be a simple solution. What's the simple solution?
Leave it
on the table and make a bracha. Right, what's the big deal? Right, why they? But there's the Tosas and Sukkah. You can look, it's very interesting because somehow only one sheet to one out. Tosas and Sukkah has like four options what to do.
Yeah.
I always find that option interesting. Somehow the one that went out is obviously the Estro being not there, you do low. One option is that you only have some of the Minim in your hand. Right, it's an interesting option.
Uh-huh.
Right, one option is to say that maybe if the Nanuim are part of the mitzvah, so then it is over Lasiatan because it's prior to the Nanuim. Right, a little bit like the Natilia Daim argument, that maybe it's prior to the Niguv, so it's still over Lasiatan. Obviously, the sheet that went out is the
Grah takes.
I'm sorry?
I think the Grah takes that one.
Oh, really? Oh, so that's it. But
he doesn't do the
flip. Are you aware of Talmidia Grenard, so who follow that?
Yeah, I think nobody does the flip. They don't do the flip.
Oh, there you go.
They have Kavanah to not be Yotzi until
last. If I went to Sharik, the Grushel and Sharik Chesed, I would find.
No, the Grushel I don't think is Davka. If you went to Rav Zilberman, probably.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So
next to quote.
That's it. No, I was curious. I was just curious if so why that one went out. Like where were the Jews who do some of the other shitas?
Because there might be. I think for a lot of other Jews, they might be worried about they'll not have kavanah.
Okay, it's certainly a drawback. Anything that depends on a particular kavanah, there's a certain drawback to that approach. So in any case, but why don't we do the simple solution of just have the arba minim on the table? So what's the answer? The Ramban really gave the answer. Because you want the chayfets there. I mean, what the ideal birkat mitzvah is? You're holding the object of mitzvah. It's like you're ready to go. But you're not fulfilling it yet. You make the bracha, and okay. So we'll come back to this later. Good. Back to Yushalmi. Rav Huna Mar Bishat Asiyatan. Now this is a little bit misleading, but it means actually while you're doing it, right? As you're doing it, not immediately before, but they should go together, right? The bracha and the Asiyat Mitzvah coincide chronologically.
Well, at the same time,
okay. Yes. So clearly, I don't know if you is heading this direction. That's easier for mitzvahs that I do with my hands. By mitzvahs that I do with my mouth, by verbalizing, obviously there's a built-in problem, which we'll get to in a second.
So that makes sense.
You got it. That's exactly right. I only have one kash, which I don't know what the answer is, but maybe one of you guys will answer it for
okay.
me. No, but you're absolutely right, Yehuda. You hit it. Very good.
Thank you.
I did Rav Huna kishmuel. Rav Huna is like Shmuel. Damar Rav Yosef bar Bun b'shem Shmuel. Kol mitzvot tunod brachot b'shara siyatan. Not the overla siyatan shita, but the b'shara siyatan shita. Chutz mitkia v'tfila. So let's look at all three exceptions. So tefillah is an exception we know from the Bavli also. And why would tefillah be an exception? So if it's tefillah ger, it's very easy.
Can't make a bracha.
Because you can't make a bracha until you're a Jew. So that's for a different reason. Why is tekiah an exception? But Yehuda just hit the nail on the head.
Once you
Well, you can't possibly... It's with your mouth. I'm just curious why achilat matzah isn't on this list. That's what's bothering me. Meaning tekiah chofer is not the only mitzvah that is done with your performed to your mouth. So I don't have an answer yet. I couldn't find. I'm surprised. I was kind of shocked. I couldn't find. As Ben said, there's several. I was a little bit shocked. I couldn't find more. Obviously, there aren't not every Rishon comments on Yushalmi, but it seems to be like obvious question. If the problem the shadas yatan There are a lot of verbally based mitzvot, right? Sukkot Omer is a good example. Matzah is a good example. What
this
do you?
Just giving some examples.
You think tekiah might stand for all the verbal, all mitzvot performed with your mouth?
I mean, didn't Rav Zsolti say that you could write down Sfirah?
He's saying in theory you could find a way to. Okay, that's
but
clever.
Not matzah.
Right. So I don't know. Unless Levy's right, but I was a little bit surprised by that. Now, Kedushin Bibiya, let's realize what's it. Well, presumably, what's the rationale for Kedushin Bibiya? Why can't you do Bishadas Yatan?
Well, there's the Ramban.
Yeah, it's not appropriate, right? Yeah. That's not the framework for making brachos. But notice what seems to be the assumption of Yushami, and we'll come back to this in a second. What kind of bracha is the bracha of Kiddushin?
Mitzvah.
Obviously, everybody at this point, I think that's the most important part of Yushami. You can't be an exception to a rule unless you're subject to the same category. I mean, at this point, if you read the Yushami carefully, lurking in this Yushami is obviously the idea that Birkat Kiddushin is a Birkat of Mitzvah. You ever agree on this point? Mm-hmm. What does Yushami say? Right? When do you make brachas on mitzvos? Either Overlas Yatan or Shadas Yatan. This Shadas Yatan Shita knows of several exceptions for different reasons. Shofar, because it's using your mouth. Tefillah, because you're not Jewish yet. Kedusha Bevia, because it's not appropriate at that point in time. But all three of them are obviously Birkat HaMitzvah, and that's why they're exceptions to the Birkat HaMitzvah rule. So this would seem to support the Rambam that Birkas Erisin is really a Birkat HaMitzvah. That seems to be implicit in the Yushami. Okay, we'll go to that. Great. Let us go to the Ramban in this Yushami now. V'adam Rishmul, now the Ramban's commenting on the Babli, of course. Hadam Rishmul kol mitzvos kula and mevarchle and overlas yatan klal gadol v'loma brachutz. When Shmuel says in the Bavli, Shmuel himself does not even say the word chutz. It seems to be a universal rule. Now later in the Bavli, somebody else says chutz mina tefila, because the Bavli agrees that tefila is an exception. But Shmuel's words is just kol mitzvos kulan overlas yatan uviyushalmi meseches brachos amu chutz mikidushin bevila. Why? V'nirli atam.
Is that? Sorry, is that why Sfardim make a bracha on tevila before they?
So it has to do. Yes, that has to do with the. Nate's correct. There's Rama Machaber Machlokes when a woman goes to mikvah, how to work out the bracha.
Oh, there's a bracha for a woman.
Yeah, there's a bracha on tevila. Now, if you think about it, there's no reason why he should know that. He's never been a woman who's gone to mikvah, but
as far as you know,
if you think about it, the rationale for ger doesn't necessarily apply to a woman. Now, it's tempting to think it does apply, but it would be a mistake. Because what's the tempting to say? Since she's still Tameh, therefore, she doesn't make a bracha until she gets it, except for what?
No, I wouldn't say
you have to make bracha when you're Tameh. Right, so it's not obvious that the rationale for ger applies in any way. So it could be part of the machlokes, do we just want to make all tefillahs the same? Right, that's all tefillah. It's always tefillah and then bracha. So you're right. You could see why the Ramban and Rabban Machaber start being having machlokas about the tefillah of an isha, but tefillah of a ger, it's pretty clear that the bracha would have to be after the tefillah. Those are curious. There's a tosas in Pesachim Zayin Rebbe. Take a look at the tosas about tefillah and nashim. Okay, about how the bracha relates to the mitzvah. Okay, great. V'nirli atam lifish ein roi levarich la mitzvah kshim mezumen elfanav lasota. Here it is. That rule. Even if you say over lasiatan, it's not 2 hours before. You're supposed to be right there with the chayfets in hand, as it were. Uba'ota shalom meisha b'mita. You're supposed to make brachas when you're naked, and obviously, what's the alternative? Now, you see why the chamin, you know, practical considerations are also part of halacha. But okay, so just stay fully dressed. What's the problem? Again, there's something like a little funny about that in the bedroom, so we don't do that. Okay, so again, so we have a good yushami. Why we don't? Like kedushin babila, you can't apply the normal rules. Now the Ramban notices very well that the Bavli did not bring up Kiddushin as a potential exception. I mean, see, this is an interesting question now. In the Yushalmi, we learned two things. Yushalmi clearly thinks that Berachas Kiddushin is a Berachas Mitzvah, and it could be an exception to the normal rules about when you make the Bracha. The Bavli doesn't mention it. Okay. Umidilo amru b'gemara dilan. Okay, again, what's gemara dilan? Bavli, good. Elachutz min hatfila, right? The only exception that comes up in the Bavli is tefila. Lo samchinan agmara demarava baha. We would not rely on the Yushalmi. But here's an interesting question. Nate and I had a debate during Chavruta time. How far is this not relying on Yushalmi going? Because if you think about it, Yushalmi said had a couple of points there. Yushalmi assumed that Birkat Kiddushin was a Birkat Mitzvah, and said when it comes to Kiddushin Bibiya, we would not have the normal either overlas siyatan or shada siyatan ruling. Now, when we say don't rely on Yushalmi, could go, there's two ways to go. Either we reject the whole thing, it's not even a birkat mitzvah, right? Or we could say it is a birkat mitzvah, but we think it's not an exception to the rule of Evelyn Manis. Okay, so let's see where the Ramban goes with this. The kolshken, all the more so, the lekulhu shaminan, according to everybody we think, mina, we'll see what everybody is in a second, the bekedusha kesef eshtar overle asetan him varchin birkat erisin. So it seems to me the Ramban is not doing the more radical rejection of the Yerushalmi, just the more low-key rejection. What's he saying? I think even for a Birkat Erisin, perhaps you can make it over the even Kedushin Bibia. But certainly everybody would agree, everybody, i.e., both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi would agree that if it's Kedushin Kesef and Kedushin Shtar, I want you to make the Bracha.
Before you give
it up. That would mean at this point, the Ramban is saying? Right, the Yerushalmi has a technical problem with Kedushin Bibia. But the Yerushalmi would agree that if I do Kedushei Kesef and Kedushei Shtar, the bracha should be classic over Le'asiyatan. It seems to me the Ramban is still assuming that it is a Birkat HaMitzvah. Kedushin Bibia relates to a certain technical problem we have to figure out how we need to dress. But Kedushei Kesef and Kedushei Shtar, for sure, the bracha should precede the Maaseh. And he goes on to say, look who he quotes to support himself. V'chein katav Rabbeinu HaGadol B'tshuva. But when the Ramban quotes Rabbeinu HaGadol, it's the Rif. This is what the Rif says in the Tshuva. Now, let's see what he says here. V'talmido, however much, this is quite fascinating because the Rambam was not literally a Talmud of the Rif. But those of you who have learned a little bit of Halacha, I know, realize the Rambam frequently follows the Rif's Psak. Are you guys aware of this? This actually has a lot of implications. I don't want to get into more long a tangent here, but it might have a lot of implications for Yosef Karo. But Yosef Karo famously said that he will base his Psakim on the three pillars of Psak. He's the phrase, you know, you guys know about this? The Shlosha Amudei Hora'ah. Who's listed in his Shlosha Amudei Hora'ah? So the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. So it sounds like a great method, right? You have three great poskim. We'll always see how two out of three poskim, except for one thing. The Rambam, 95% of the time, poskins like the Rif. So relying on the Shlosha Amudei Hora'ah in a certain way is just saying, well, basically we're going to follow the Rambam Rif approach. Okay, so that's a broader topic in terms of Yosef Karo's Psak I don't want to get into right now. But he's quoting Ramosha. This is what we saw yesterday. Look at the footnote helps you out here, right? Or the brackets. What did we see? The Rambam was very adamant. He was the most adamant of any Rishon that Birkat Erisin has to be before. Remember this? What did he say? He was so adamant, the Rambam said, if you didn't make it before, you can't make the bracha anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? So so the Ramban seems to me, at this point, he's totally with the Rambam. He essentially, again, to sum up what we have here, essentially, we review Birkat Kedushin as a Birkat HaMitzvah. That's a Diyuk in Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a technical concern about how we deal with Kedushin Bibia. But certainly, if it's Kedushei Kesef and Kedushei Shtar, we'd expect the bracha to come first, like the Rambam paskens. Okay, next. Now he makes a separate point. I think now at this point, maybe some of you are misled. It's not about Birkas Kedushin anymore. He's about brachos in general from this point on. Have you day a shalom kol shmuel kana al kol mitzvot kulon? When Shmuel made his broad statement, don't take it too broadly. What was it about? When Shmuel said you always make it over last yatan, what was the category in question? Mitzvos. That's a separate category. There are different issues. But for a different reason. You wouldn't use the phrase over lasiyatan. Kovasan has to do with a special reason having to do with mitzvos. Why in Berchsa Nenin does the bracha come first? What you guys said yesterday. This is the whole idea. Right? You're not supposed to enjoy God's will till you give a bracha to it. That's what it's about. Meaning, don't be misled. The bracha is before, but for not the same reason. But very often in halacha, it's part of deeper halachic reasoning. Not to be confused, we do the same thing in two contexts, but not for the same reason. Birkat HaMitzvah, there's a rule called Over La'asiyatan. Birkat HaNen, it's because of Asur La'adam She'enem Ozan B'lo Bracha. V'im Birkat Shevachem, K'un Otam She'beperk HaRo'eh, right, the ninth perk of Brachot lists a good deal of the Birkat Shevach. V'adai Lav Over La'asiyatan Barachin Otan, El'ach Mikan. She'ein, he says it in a very interesting way. She'ein wa'ui lomar she'kishit karev l'rot hayam gadol ye'otzim einav u'mevarech v'ro'et ne'l'ro'u mevarech n'ukul, meaning he says it more practically, but I think you can say it more fundamentally. How does the Ramban say it? How does he know that Birkat Shevach is not over l'asiyatan? Well, how would you do it? Right, you want to encounter the yam gadol, so like you walk up to the beach like with your arm over your head until you're close enough, then you make the bracha, then you open your eyes. It doesn't make any sense practically, but I think there's a deeper point here. Right, the Birkat Shevach is a response to the wondrous phenomena you create in God's world. Like you have to encounter it first. Right, you encounter a rainbow, that's something amazing. I will now make a bracha. So certainly Birkat Shevach, the bracha is afterward. So now getting back to what we saw yesterday, just to sum up where we were, and then we're going to get to the woman's chiyuv. We said mitzvah bo It's better to do the Kiddushin yourself. We still have two possibilities. Right, the Rambam says Kiddushin itself is a mitzvah. Right, there's a mitzvah to get married. Don't, for the Rambam, it is clearly not just Puruvu. Remember, we saw in the Sefer Mitzvos, they're two separate categories. Mitzvah Reish Yud Bet, propagate the world. Mitzvah Reish Yud Gimel, get married. It's a mitzvah. Right, and the Rambam says the bracha is a birkat mitzvah. Right, that's what's going on in the bracha. Very good. What did we see in the Rush yesterday? Right, so the Rush said there is no mitzvah called Kiddushin. The only mitzvah is. The only mitzvah is. Puruvu is the mitzvah. What bracha are you making? So it's, presumably the bracha would be. Let's say it's a birkat shelach. Right? I don't know if we still read this part of the Rush. But then what does the Rush say at the end? You're not making a bracha in the mitzvah after all the mitzvahs Puruvu. Right, you really. You know, let me just see, show that line in the Rush. Let's go back to the Rush for 1 second. Let me show you that line in the Rush. Mm-hmm. It's a birkat shevach. Here we still get to the bracha. He says what the bracha is. about 5 lines to the bottom. We'll get back to the sheet, the parallel later. The line begins with ish. This is on page 2, the second half of Amud 1. See, the line begins with ish. 6 lines from the bottom. See the end. Ubracha zu. Ubracha zu nitkana. What's this bracha? Latet shevach kadosh baruch hu asher kitshanu mitzvotav evdilanu min ha'amim v'tzivanu l'kadosh isha ha'muter lanu v'lacha min ha'yot. It's like we're praiseworthy that we have this very important structure of family life in Judaism. That we're against relations with ha'yot and we believe in marriage. Aslam t'rosu hitam nesulanu. That's what it's all about. So it's really a birkat shevach according to the Rush. So now one nafkamid of course might be, when should this bracha be made? Now you can understand why there's a machloket when to make Birkat Erisin. The Rambam being the champion of the fact that Kiddushin's a mitzvah, obviously he's going to say you should make the bracha beforehand. The Rush said in the beginning of the piece, which we saw on Sunday, the Rush is willing to say the bracha should be after. Why? Well, why in the world should the bracha be before? It's not a Birkat a mitzvah. It's a Birkat Shemach. Okay, just one thing to remind you guys, and I'm going to get to the woman in a second, just remember the writer. Because now I'm oversimplifying things. I'm oversimplifying by saying, if it's a birkat mitzvah, obviously before the Kiddushin. If it's a birkat shevach, obviously after. Except for one thing. We've seen both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, sometimes you have a birkat mitzvah that other considerations moves the bracha afterward. We discussed Netilat Yadayim and Tefilat Ger and Kiddushin Bebiya. According to the Ravid, remember the Ravid and Nathan the Ravid was this actually easier than the Rama. The Rav is worried about bracha levatala
because she might go back.
Exactly, because this is an unusual mitzvah that somebody else is also involved. Right. So if you're like the Rav, it seems to me the Rav could agree it's a birkat mitzvah, but say there are other considerations here that make me move the bracha after the mitzvah, which is the Rush is arguing more fundamental grounds. The Rush is saying this is not a birkat mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to get married. This is a birkat shevach. That's why the bracha should follow the act of kiddushin. Seems to me the Rav might be saying it is a birkat mitzvah, but there's another fear. Yeah, I'm just going to throw in one more thing and then we'll get to the woman. It's interesting, this issue of bracha levatala comes up in another context, and in that context it led to a different conclusion. I don't know if anybody compares the two. You guys may know that we tend to not make brachas on mitzvah spinam l'chavero. You ever notice that? There's no bracha before giving tztaka, no bracha before kibud avim or hachnasas orchim. I'm aware of like 3 or 4 different reasons for why not. But there's a famous Rashba in the context of tztaka where the Rashba says we're afraid of bracha levatala. Because what are we afraid of? The ani might say, no, actually, I don't want it, or it's not enough for me.
Wait, but if he's sitting sitting on the street, you know, like, showing like this.
Okay, look, it's a reasonable question. But it just occurred to me, like, it's interesting, because according to the Ravid, the fear of bracha levatala motivates you to move the bracha to after the mitzvah. According to that Rashba Tzaka, the fear of bracha levatala actually motivates you to just have no bracha.
Right.
So I'm just curious, like, what's lurking there? Like, should the fear of bracha levatala say, okay, so we just won't have a bracha on this mitzvah? Or should the fear of bracha levatala motivate you to say, okay, well, just like in other contexts, we'll simply move the bracha to following the act of mitzvah? Okay? We're good? Any questions we've done so far before we get to the one? Okay. Excellent. So this was all on the man side of the coin. The mitzvah boyer to mushulcha, which again is either, the mitzvah in question is either kiddushin, i.e., he is directly performing a mitzvah now when he says, hi, I'm Kodesh Li, and gives her the ring. Or it's the Puruvu, and this is the Hechsher mitzvah. This is the step that enables him to get to his mitzvah of Puruvu. We're all good so far?
Oh, the tzedakah thing. It might be like, let's say, you give an ani some money, but an ani goes out to buy food, but he didn't give him enough. But only later, and he notices he didn't give him enough money to get the food he wants. So does that?
I'm pretty sure you'd still fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah.
How was the mitzvah of tzedakah? What do you mean?
I think any amount of tzedakah. I might be making a mistake. As far as I know, any look again, there could be tzedakah performed in a more superior and inferior fashion. But I think anytime you give money to an ani, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah. I think so.
There's a categorical difference between tzedakah and maaser.
Let's get maaser's going to take us in a different direction. Okay, let us get to it. Now we get to a very interesting question. Now, if all you've got is puruvu, you might be in bigger issue when you get to the woman's side of the coin, to the mitzvah ba yotem b'shulcha. I think I have to go back to my blue marker to find it one of these days.
Oh, sure. If she got us there, that's for a new one?
No, we'll worry about it after this. Mitzvah by yotem b'shulcha. Like, we also have to ask where her mitzvah is. So first, let's do a little background in women's chiyuv in puruvu. Let's do this gemara in Yevamos. This is very important gemara. Okay. I think I'm still going to read for today. Ha'isha mitzuveh al puruvi reveh avalo ha'isha. Okay, it's a famous mission. Yevamos, see why. Why women would be exempt. Rabbi Yochanan Broch omer al shneim hu omer v'rech la'atom elokim yom alem elokim puruvu. So first of all, it's just interesting to know it's machlokas tanaim. Right? It was not universally agreed in the Tanitic period that women are exempt from the mitzvah al puruvu. Right, I'm sorry, I'm now on the bottom of page 3. The first side of Zman Kayat Zamatu. The one that doesn't say Zman Kayat Zamatu on it. So Yochanan Broch thought that women are chayim puruvu. He says, look, it says v'yom lehem. Who's God talking to? V'yom lehem elokim puruvu. Who's he talking to?
Both.
Adam and Chava. Right? Simple pshat in the pasuk would seem to be men and women are chayim and puruvu. So how do the chachamim come to the conclusion that women are exempt? So let's go to the Gemara. Menohani mili. Now again, we're asking about the chachamim, right? The shitas of Yochanan Broch is easy. That's simple pshat in the pasuk. Why the chachamim say women are exempt? Amar v'loy mishum b'laz v'shimun amakah umalua ta'arz v'kivshuha. The pasuk goes on to say, so kibush is something that's, it's a male activity, like men are into conquest and the like, right? So that is the reason why it's just men. Adarab v'kivshua tarte mashma, but v'kivshua sounds like they plural will conquer it. This is famous. A lot of times their drasha are not based on our nikud, but based on how it's written. It's true we pronounce it v'kivshuha, but it's not spelled in a cloth. It's not spelled with without it. So kivsha moves it back to the similar, right? The kavat, like he will conquer it. The kavashota. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, the ta here is not the woman, by the way.
Right.
Right. It's the aretz. Remember that. Right. Pruvu malua ta aretz. Again, the drasha is based on how it's spelled v'kivsha. But that means one person, the male, is being engaged in kivsha, so only he is chayiv in puruvu. Yehuda, what's bothering you?
No.
Yeah, you okay?
We'll find out.
No. Okay. Rav Yosef Amihacha, ani kel shakai, pre urve, v'lokom puruvu. Now, this is a little bit difficult. We're not discussing right now, we're discussing with our man before. This is just not the simple pshat that this would be the source of puruvu mitzvah, right? This is a bracha Hashem's giving Yaakov Avinu. But again, it's in the singular, so somehow that indicates it's only incumbent upon the male. Okay.
Could be maybe like a hekesh, you know,
Maybe you can work that out. Okay, that he's not claiming that this is the real source of the mitzvah, but this then reflects back on the pasuk about the mitzvah. Yeah.
We thought maybe you could read it the opposite way, like here it uses the singular, so dafka where it uses the plural, surely that means it really is the plural.
Huh?
It's here it says pararava, but where it says pururu, it could have said pararava, but it doesn't, it says the plural. Maybe that's not what it was saying.
No, it's a reasonable question. It's a reasonable question, like how we know to bring this back. The Gemara doesn't, even if it's accurate, like you just said, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, that mechanism. So I'm going to leave it as a question for now. I guess we've got two possible drashas to justify Shitas Chachamim against Rav Yochanan Broch. Okay. Now we want a psak. My Havila. What do we have here? Tashma. Damar b'cha acha b'chanin amar b'avom r'vasi. Uv de havi kamed Rav Yochanan b'knishtu de Kesari. There was an episode that happened in the Beit Knesset of Kesaria. Now, yeah, you might have needed Rashi for this. Didn't look it up. What was the episode? What was the issue? Didn't look it up. You might be able to figure out from the continuation. But Amar Yotzi V'Yitein Ketuba. He has to divorce her and he has to pay the Ketuba. So if you look up in Rashi, she came to the Beis Din with a complaint. What's her complaint? Why does she want out of this marriage?
He's not around.
Because he's not capable of providing her with children. Now realize one thing. the very important thing about the world of the laws of Ksuva. If she's got a good claim to terminate the marriage, then she should get the Ksuva. If she's got a frivolous claim, right, so then it's not obvious that she should get the Ksuva. So what? How do we evaluate this claim? Is this a solid claim? You know, I got married to have kids, and here this guy can't provide me with kids. Or is it a frivolous claim? Yeah.
But there's still, but she was still going to get. No,
no, she needs to get either way. But part of the question is, does
she get the money?
Does she get the money? Like, let's say a marriage dissolves because she starts doing crazy things, or she's an ex-murderer. Right, so it could be that the husband doesn't have to pay the ksuba. He's like, I married her. She's the one, because of her craziness, this marriage is dissolving.
Okay.
So now that's exactly Gemara's question. What's the proof from here? What was the psak of Rabbi Yochanan? Yotzi b'tin ksuba. If a woman comes to court and says, I want out of this marriage because he can't provide me with children, right, the psak is, she has a good claim, she even gets the money. The isak adayetech lo mifkada ktuba maya vidite. So what's the claim? What's this show?
She has to be.
Haven't got it? This is going to be a proof for Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Obviously, she's chayav pruvu. Then she's got a great halachic argument. I have a mitzvah I want to do my whole life of pruvu. This guy prevents me from doing so, so I want to marry somebody else. Right?
Well, could it be that because women like to have kids?
Not only is that a good answer, Yehuda, it's the Gemara's answer. That's exactly right. What the Gemara's going to say is, I think it's a very important point, guys. Sometimes you can be too halachic about things like what is a worthwhile claim is not only dependent on what is concretely a mitzvah. That's exactly right. Yes.
Although we could say maybe a little bit more legalistically that she has maybe some kind of right for kids.
Okay, that's interesting. That's clever. Well, that might depend on Yehuda's point. I mean, her right is not rooted in a mitzvah. Her right is rooted in like basic human desires or basic human needs. Very good. Let's see what the Gemara says. Dilma biba machmatana. Maybe she comes with a particular claim. Let's see what her claim is. Kiyahi, just like this case, Da'ati la'kamei d'Avami, another woman came before Avami. Amrle, she said to him, Havli k'tuba, I want my k'tuba. Amrle, he said to her, Zil lo mifkarta, go, you don't have a claim because you're not commanded of kids. What do you mean you want kids? You're not commanded. Amrle, misibo dila mai tahavila dahach itata. You have to realize one thing, like sometimes women talk in Gemara, men and women talk about themselves in third person sometimes. What is misibo dila?
Ask her.
Okay, mifsibo is actually from the word like seva, like mifnei seva takum. Okay. Guys, I realize that sometimes I don't give you Rashi because I'm running out of room, but probably pays to look up Rashi in your bonus. Basically, like her old age, misibu dala, her old age, mai tahavila dahach itita. What's going to be with
this woman?
Meaning,
who's going to for me?
Exactly. Well, a person could want children for many reasons. One of the children is you take care of people, and then when you're older, you also feel secure that you have people who look out for you. Amar, now look at this. What did Rav Ami say? Kiha vade kafinon. When Rav Ami heard that taina, what did he say? Kiha, this kind of argument? Vade kafinon? We do force that as an ayah. It's a good argument. Not because it's a fulfillment. You guys said exactly right. Not because it's a fulfillment of any kind of halachic mandate. There's no halachic mandate here, but it's a legitimate claim in life. Right? A person's allowed to say, I want to have children. Right? Not because, so it doesn't prove that she's chayav in pruvu. Next. Ahida Taila Kamedra of Nachman. There's also a woman who came before of Nachman. Amrla, same thing happened. What was his initial response there? Lo mifkarta. You know, you're just not commanded in Peruvo. Why is that a claim that he can't provide you with children? Amrle, she said to him, Lo bayach itata chutriliada umarla kfura. Doesn't this woman, again, me want? And we look this up. Chutriliada umarla kfura?
She's
okay, but Mara is the shovel. Chutra, you might show chutra? From Chab Gadya, you should know chutra. Right, Va'ata chutra, Vehika lakalba. Right, chutra is a stick. Right, she wants a stick in her hand, something to lean upon. Chutra liyada, doesn't a woman want a staff for her hand? Umar lakfur, and she wants a shovel. Again, meaning that's what part of what you want in life. It's a legitimate desire to have to want to have offspring. Not only because you are commanded as such. And look again, what was Rav Nachman's psak? Amar kiha vade kafinan. Oh, that argument? That is a worthy argument to coerce. So I think very interesting Gemara. So one thing about it is that we might, and it seems seemingly we do pass like the Chachamim, but we're trying to justify the Chachamim here in all these stories, that a woman is not obligated in Peruvu. But the first thing to point out, it doesn't mean like halacha is totally indifferent to a woman's desire to have kids. It's such a good argument, apparently, that a woman could both terminate a marriage and receive a ketuvah based on on these factors. I think it's an important point. Like life is not only about what is concretely a demand. Yeah.
Why does Rabbi Nachman keep saying, "Well, you're not committed"?
Why didn't he jump to this right away?
Yeah. What's his?
Because her assumption is.
It sounds like this is an interesting question, Yuda. I have to admit, I didn't look into it more. It sounds like she needs to somehow she needs to make a claim that activates this. Even think about the way the Gemara said it. What did it say? Dilma b'ba machmatana. Like if she would just say, "I went out of this marriage." Right, this time that wouldn't be enough. But she says, "But I want kids because kids provided these."
Yeah,
I think it's funny because you'd. I think you're right. Because anybody who says one kid, probably if you push them, will end up saying one of these. I admit it. I mean, when will there be a case of non ba machmatana? But it does sound like it's almost like she needs to activate this. She needs to like verbalize.
But I'm saying afterwards, what she says, because I want kids. Why say, well, you're not committed? Why is his first default to be, oh, it's mitzvah.
You know what? Let's look. As you asked a question. Can you get your Rambam? Let's see in the Rambam how he quotes this. Let's make into Shulchan Aruch.
It's starting to sound like a benefit, like you have legal benefits which you're only really, which you're entitled to, but you only get if you request.
Okay, thank you very much. Right. Let's just see. No, but she's certainly, meaning originally she was requesting to be out of the marriage and get her ksuba. Right, but somehow she needs to also say, and here's why. Let's see, I want children. Let's see how it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Where is this? Vav and Hey. Okay. Tur Shulchan Aruch Sham Kuf Nun Dalid Zion. Right, let's see. Get out of Ibn Ezra. See, even in this fancy edition, it's all of Ibn Ezra's in one volume. Let's see what we got here. Kuf Nun Dalid Zion.
Very small volume as well. Maybe we could go over that in lunchtime.
Stop saying silly things.
Jim Garcia. See, it's a different issue here. Okay, I'm getting distracted. I don't get distracted by this other issue. I mean, one of the questions, of course, is like, who's responsible? I mean, who? If you don't have kids, it's not as clear whose fault that is. I'm going to get into that now. It's a separate question. Ah, here it is. Okay. Very good. Ha'isha she'tovad get. A woman's demanding a get. Here, I want to look this up. There was Ebn Ezra Kuf Nun Dalad Vav. B'tana she'ena ru'uya livnot mimenu. She can't, it's not fit to build from him. Ain shomin la, we don't listen to her. Vim tana shechavtza leled kedei shila ben shetisha ain alav. Veomer chihu goreim sheino yorek echetz. Then, okay, so this is more. I don't know the way to give you guys wait, but it does sound like it depends how she phrases it. It does sound like luckily that matters. Which is, this needs a little bit more work. How this works, very interesting. All right, I will have to look into that later. But apparently, how she phrases her claim does matter. To whether she immediately gets a get in the ksuba or not. But in any case, you do see on the one hand two things. One is that you have shittas chum that women are not obligated to peru, but B, that halacha still takes into consideration a natural desire to have children for various reasons, and that could be a claim with weight. Could be a claim that could get you out of a marriage and get you a ksuba. Yeah.
What would be the implications if we said, all right, women do have a kiv of peru, based on that very strong pasuk? Is there like lots of things that would change? Is that like.
Well, we'll see some of them.
No, okay, yeah. There's one very big nafkamina actually, which is how adamant are we. Let's say, I'll give you a good example. Let us say a woman says, you know, I love my career, I prefer to just be single for a lifetime. Now, obviously, on the broader realm of Jewish values, we think it's a bad thing. But would we say that she's violating Jewish law by doing so? Or let's say she wants to, sterilize herself. Like, would.
Isn't that so strongly discouraged anyway?
No, so we're against it we're against it on other grounds, but it wouldn't be a problem per se as far as, okay. like with many of it, it's a good example, right? Men are concretely obligated to prove it. That's why I pointed this out a few times, I think, I don't know with you guys, but it's very hard to find Jewish sources in favor of celibacy. Right. It's very interesting. You'd think like a religion that's been around for a long time, you could find some source somewhere. Like there are only two things I could think of, neither one's really a good source. Maybe there's a third that I started adding my list. But what do you have? You have Moshe Rabbeinu after Matan Torah, but in a certain sense that's not a good example because Moshe's already had had children. Right. The other example you may know, this one your mom said, Ben Azai says, Chashka Nafshi B'Torah, I'm so attached to Torah I just can't stop it. It's not obvious the Gemara is in favor of what Ben Azai does. He's just like a model of
someone who else has to justify it.
Right.
Two extremes.
So I think it's example, right? Even the two things I quote are not really in favor of this as but what's the Rav Nachman quote?
No, Rav Nachman just basically, there's a lot of quotes from Rabbi Nachman that he sounds kind of like Paul.
Really? I'd like to see if you can find them, actually.
As you said, a nation that lived for so long, that's how...
Ah, yeah, fair, well said. You're saying it's like the Essenes, right? If you're against marriage, it's not good for your ability to endure in Jewish history. That's a good point, or history. Okay. No, that's true. There's even an argument, by the way, that in the Catholic Church that it was like a talent drain. Because like the more intelligent or devout family, people ended up not having offspring.
They only started the celibacy in the 1400s?
Right.
I mean, it's only...
Right. Right.
Been around for six, you know, like,
right. I don't know if it's true or stock, but I have heard that argument that it drains down. But in any case, as you see, like in our tradition, it's really not. So this would be a good example. Like, for women, would it be just as strong as men? Like, men would be adamant that getting married is part of the program. So, would we say that for women as well? Okay, so we'll see some nafkamines in a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Let's turn the page. Go a little bit out of order. Now we're going to see this is going to be a very good model for different levels of mitzvah. Okay, so let's go back to mitzvah bayit b'shulchan. See if you like the Rambam, it's very easy. Because what the Rambam say? Separate from Peruvu, there's a mitzvah to get married. And we were medayak on Sunday. That mitzvah doesn't sound like that's limited to men. So mitzvah bayit b'shulchan is very easy. Why should the woman do it herself? She is now fulfilling a mitzvah to get married. Right? So that Rambam, it's easy. But what if you don't like the Rambam? There's no mitzvah in Judaism to get married. There's only mitzvah Peruvu. And you pass like the Chachamim. So now you could argue it's religiously indifferent whether a woman gets married or not. So on what level are we saying mitzvah ba? She's not doing a mitzvah. Yeah, Nate.
There's a Rambam in Yishuv that's it's Mefarsh that he says there's
the men and women.
That men and
women. Yeah, very good, very good. So the Rambam makes it easy. But what about if you not like the Rambam? So let us see three shitas. It's all going to give us very interesting the range of different kinds of kliuvim. Let's start with the shita no dolami.
Who?
Okay. That's it. A good joke there, Yehuda. Okay. Shita Lami says, Mitzvah by Tem Shukha. Yavagav de itata lo mifkada peiriv. That's it right away. Yes, I understand. What do you mean? It's better religiously for her to do it. There's no mitzvah here. First answer. This is a very interesting answer, but I'm not aware of anybody else who says this. Midrabban and Mia Machaiva. What's the Shita Lami's first answer? A woman does have a concrete obligation. It's just rabbinic. Now that would change everything. She is really obligated. Women are obligated to get married and have children. Right, they have a rabbinic obligation. True, we're passing the chum against the Yochum and Broca, but Chazal came along and we're chayav women. Inami, the laschar kamisha in mitzuga osa. Now that's very different. Now, what's the second answer? There's no concrete obligation, but what's the second answer basically saying? Why should marriage be any different than shofar, lulav, sukkah? I mean, what do we tend to say about most mitzvahs women are not obligated? The overwhelming majority of mitzvahs women are not obligated. We say it's religiously a good thing for them to do it. In fact, they get schar like an eina mitzvah voseh. So she is fulfilling a mitzvah. There's no... Now you see the difference? In reason one, there's a real obligation on a rabbinic level. In reason two, there's no real obligation, but there's certainly a kiyum ha-mitzvah. Okay. Now let us now go to two achronim. The Birkei Yosef is the Chida, very famous Sephardi posek, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He wrote a tremendous amount of Sfarim, all of which are right down here. Okay, the Chida. He lived in the 1700s. He lived a very interesting life. He traveled a lot. He lived in Hebron and Italy.
This is Yosef?
Yeah, the Birkei Yosef is the Chida in Shulchan Aruch. It's the Chida's parish in Shulchan Aruch. Now, he has a good proof against the Shita Lo Dolami's first answer. And it's interesting. It's going to be clear here that he's quoting the Shita Lo Dolami. He had some manuscript. Notice who he's quoting. Chad Mekamai, one of the earlier ones. Defus, which is where the Xaviad came from, or the printing came from. Shekata reish perek beis tekedushin. Ahidam emitzvah etem b'shulcha. V'zeh l'shono. V'yavgav de'itelo mifkada peririvya medrabanim yimachayva. Inami dit laschar k'mishayinu mitzvah v'osak. Right? Obviously, it's word for word, right? He clearly was quoting the Shita. Ever see that? What? Okay, that's it. I suspect that the Chida didn't know either.
Oh.
It wasn't that he was like hiding it from us. It's a good shot, ladies. If the Chida, for some reason, didn't tell us, and that's why we don't know for eternity who just wrote this, I think he didn't know either. Okay. He wasn't so long ago, it was the 1700s. I think they had this manuscript from the Rishonim, and they don't know who wrote it. So. V'hai shinuya kama de kamashani medirban miyachayva. Zui shekashe. Here you go, Daniel. This is your question. What does he want to claim? Of the Shita Lo Dolami's two answers, The first answer is difficult. Why? Look at his two proofs. Dari mefurash betosefta derisha isha la shevet blo ish velishdot kos ikarin velinosele saris. Fascinating. And what emerges in Tosefta? What does Tosefta say? What three options does a woman have?
She can never.
She could choose to stay single. She can lishdot kos ikarin. She could drink some draught that makes her incapable of having children. Linosele saris, and she could choose. It's true this guy's eunuch, but I love him. I want to spend my life with him. All those are considered legitimate religious choices. I hear Dan. Now this all flows from the fact that
she's not obligated.
Again, according to what does he want to say? If we had passing like of Yochum and Broca, these would all be problematic religious choices, right? How could she just choose to stay single? How could she drink this kosi karin? Umuchach delo mechayev apiriv klal afendabon. It's a pretty strong argument, and that would be true even if she's rabbinically chayev. Like we take rabbinic chiyuv him seriously. Clearly, she's not chayev in any sense. It could be very good that she has kids, but there's no chiyuv. Look at his second proof. V'hachi riyata sugya chili per kabal yevim to yivamas. Ah, that's the flow of the sugya we just learned, guys. Delo mifkada kal ikar. She's not chayev at all. Zulat imba betana kirotza isha chutra liyada. Here's a very good point there. Think about it, guys. What did we just see in yivamas? Why does a woman have a right to demand out and get a ksuva? What did the Gemara end up saying? In Yuvam Samachai?
She wants kids.
But not because. And once again, I think he's right, the Chida. Even if she'd only be Chayv on a Durbanan level, shouldn't that be enough to have a claim that you wouldn't need to say, I want Chutra Liyado, Mara? So I think he's got pretty strong arguments. Again, the Shita Lami's first position is very difficult. Says the Birke Yosef, I understand. How could Tosefta allow the woman to stay single? How could the Gemara Yevamos need to come to this argument of Chutri Yada Umar Lakfua? Obviously, a woman's not really chayv even at a rabbinic level. V'ha'ikar ki'idach shinuya. Ha'ikar ki'idach shinuya, says the Chida. What's the real answer? Like? The second approach. De'itlaskar kamisha ena mitzuvose. Get with me so far? Okay, now there's two more possibilities, although we're running out of time. I think we're only going to get to one. Okay, now here we go. There's a pasuk in Navi, I think in Sefer Yeshayahu, which says as follows.
It says,
some of you may even count to this pasuk. Lo tohu bara. God did not create the world to be tohu, to be desolate. Good. Lashevet yetzara. But rather, he created it to be, right, lashevet, like yishuv. He created it to be settled. And this is a pasuk in Navi. So on the one hand, in some ways this is a weaker pasuk, in some ways it's stronger. Why is it weaker? Because usually Pesukim and Navi don't create real chiyuvim. Right? It's not like Puruvu in the Torah. On the other hand, you can even say it's stronger in Tzalot because it sounds like it's the very purpose of all of the created order. Why did God make a world? He didn't make a world to be desolate. He made a world so that it should be settled and populated. So we're going to see in a second a number of achronim are going to argue when a woman engages in procreation, she might not be chayv in Puruvu at all. But she is fulfilling the mandate for the world, the blueprint for creation. God wants the world to be settled. Maybe that also gives her act a mitzvah quality. It might not be the mitzvah peruvu, but it might be a fulfillment of this other thing, maybe even this deeper ideal of lo tohu bara. So this you'll see in two places. You guys got to the Beit Shmuel? Should we start there? Start with the, no, let's do the Beit Shmuel. We'll get to the Machna tomorrow. I mean on Thursday. Okay, let's do the Beit Shmuel. Okay, now, you may not know, of course, in Halacha, we're very adamant about not selling Sefer Torah, but for special reasons we do. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? You can sell Sefer Torah to get married or to learn Torah. Those are good enough reasons to sell Sefer Torah. And here's our answer to the question. Which marriage cases? Do I have time for this? Just run through the Bishmuk, you guys, okay? Ein mochon Sefer Torah kedei lemot Torah. Bechlal zeh isa haspakat talmidim. Now, learning Torah doesn't mean only learning, of course. It could also mean haspakat. Right. You know, if you can't give the students lunch, you can't learn Torah either. So that would also be enough. And marrying a woman also means you want to marry off an orphan. Here's another nafkamina Dan, in theory. What does he want to claim? What does the Chalkat Mechokek want to claim? If you know of an orphan kid who doesn't have any money to pay for the wedding or to support his family, so you'd sell the Sefer Torah for a male orphan. But you wouldn't sell the Sefer Torah for
female.
The female. Why? Because it's all generated by Peruvu. Here's another nafka mina in theory. Okay, wait, give me 1 second. Maybe let me just finish it and we'll talk on the way to lunch. Miu l'mashakasati l'kaman demokrim Sefer Torah l'kaim l'erev al Tanakh. Ah, what does he want to say? Okay, since I told him in Chavruta, there's a Gemara in Yevamos that says, even if you're ready to fill Peruvu, it's good to have more children. And according to Pasuk in Kohelet, Beboker is ro'ad zarecha, plant your seed in the morning, ula erev al tanach yadecha, and in the evening don't rest your hand. Now it's not clear, is that a real chiyav, is it a good idea? Whatever it is, it's somehow it's lesser than Peruvu. But what does he want to claim? We also want to sell a Sefer Torah, to enable somebody to fulfill that value of la erev al tanach yadecha. What does that show? Even someone's not formally fulfilling Peruvu, as long as there's some other ideal they're fulfilling, that's also enough. Ah, what does he want to make a claim? Yeshlomer lasi yatoma nami mochim sefer Torah lakayim l'shevet yetzara. A woman does not obligate Peruvu, but she is fulfilling l'shevet yetzara. De'isha nami mitzuva al shevet. Ah, there it is. So now he wants to claim a woman might not have Peruvu, but she does have l'shevet yetzara. Now, if you think about it, guys, we have a whole series of possibilities. What a woman is fulfilling when she has kids, and I think it's not true to say that Judaism is different from the woman's perspective when she has kids. It sounds like she could be fulfilling on a number of levels. What do you have? You have the shita lo delami, first shita, which is difficult, but she actually chayv drabban. She's chayv drabban to have kids. You have the shita lo delami, second shita. All right, maybe she's not chayv, but we're hardly indifferent to it. We're in favor of her taking a lulav. It's a good thing she gets char. We're in favor of her engaging in peruvu. Now you have the Beis Shmuel. Beis Shmuel wants to say she's not chayv peruvu. She's chayv in something else. Something on some level it's even deeper. This is the whole reason God created the world, to be populated. Anytime a woman has kids, she's fulfilling, as it were. Now, it's not clear exactly what the word chiyuv means. I don't get into that right this second, because we're late. Lo tovara l'shevet yetzara. So based on all of the above, we can now go back here and explain mitzvah ba yoter b'shlucha. Right? She is engaged in mitzvah act, either a chiyuv d'rabbanan or a kiyuv mitzvah, or a fulfillment of l'shevet yetzara. I just want to remind you, two other options, actually, and two other extremes. The Rambam could say mitzvah ba because she's fulfilling the mitzvah of kiddushin. Mm-hmm. The Ran we saw seems to reject all of the above, because the Ran says which mitzvah is she doing? She is being misayeya the Baal's peruvu. So just the sum of what we have here, we now it seems to me like have a row of five possibilities. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah is kiddushin. According to the Shita Levi, she's chayiv in peruvu the Ruud Rabbanan, or she's chayiv in peruvu, she's doing a kiyum of peruvu even if she's not chayiv. Or she's chayev or doing the kima of l'shevet yetzara. Or in the other hand, it's not really because of her, it's because she's helping the Baal, and that's why we say mitzvah ba yoter mibashlucha. Alright, we'll stop here. There's more to do, but I want you guys to get lunch. And I'm in favor of that too. If you